Good morning, church. Am I on? I'm on. Great. So, yeah, as Brian mentioned, unfortunately, Yoshi's still battling with the cough, and it's actually kind of been superimposed with asthma now. So, yeah, pray for him. It's been a bit of a struggle the last few weeks. And obviously, he's frustrated not being able to be here and, I guess, do what he loves to do. But, yeah, today you just have to listen to me instead, unfortunately. So I have entitled today's sermon, The Pharmacist's Guide to Communion, which may sound a little bit interesting to you. But it's come to my attention that some of you might not be aware of my day job. So my day job is actually being a pharmacist. So I work as a pharmacist in a public hospital. I'm based at Box Hill Hospital at the moment. So my specialty area or focus area for the last probably coming up to 4 years has been in the area of hematology, which relates to blood disorders, including cancerous and non-cancerous, as well as oncology, which is solid tumours. So this has been kind of my focus area in the last few years. And of late, my knowledge of physiology and biology, combined with some recent interesting books and blogs I've come across, have triggered a deep interest in something called lifestyle medicine. So for those of you that aren't aware, lifestyle medicine is basically the concept of promoting health and even reversing certain diseases by how you eat, exercise, and just your general approach and outlook on life. So I've recently started to make a few changes in my own life, such as cutting back on processed sugars. And the best part is Yoshi has not been complaining of the food I'm cooking so far, yet. That's the key word, yet. We shall see. So given all this, I'm actually quite excited to be speaking today about a spiritual practice that relates to food and drink. But I want to start with prayer before I get into it, so just bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, as we explore communion today, as we explore this symbolism that you have given us through food and drink, I pray that you may bless us and open our hearts and minds to something that we may not have seen before. May we feel your presence today. May we invite you into our hearts, Lord, and may we declare what you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So the concept of communion was first introduced in the Bible in Matthew chapter 26, where Jesus is sitting at the table around the time of the Jewish Passover with his disciples. But then suddenly, instead of kind of rolling into the usual statements and the usual symbolisms and representations that are part of the Passover ceremony, Jesus begins a new tangent. In verse 26 and 27, it says, "While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, 'Take this and eat. This is my body.'" This is a pretty confronting thing for these disciples. "Jesus, are we eating your body?" But it actually gets better. "Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of this. This is my blood. This is my blood of the covenant, which was poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" So for a moment, I want you to put yourself in the shoes of a Jewish person sitting at the table listening to this. Like, this is pretty next level. I mean, the whole concept of kosher food is it's completely drained of blood. So Jews were forbidden to drink any blood, and yet Jesus is comparing this drink at the Passover to his blood. Why is Jesus going to such lengths, such extreme lengths, to compare food to his blood and body? In fact, why did Jesus even choose food as a symbol to begin with? He could have chosen so many other things. He could have chosen a physical thing that they carry on them or that is attached to them that they see every time they move or go out. But he chose food. Why? Well, there may be many reasons, but I want to focus on one in particular today that immediately jumped out to me. And as I go through it, some of you may wonder where I'm going with it, but I ask that you just bear with me and I will tie it all together. So let's start with the basics. What is food for? So something to keep us fueled and running so we don't die, right? I mean, that in itself is a pretty big deal and a pretty big starting point. But do you know that food does a lot more than just keeping you alive? According to the American Psychological Association, your gut produces about 95% of your body's happy hormone, serotonin. Yes, the same hormone that is boosted by taking antidepressants. 95%. That's crazy. So in a sense, according to an article by Harvard Health Publishing by the Harvard Medical School, what you eat directly affects the structure and function of your brain, and ultimately your mood. So like an expensive car, your brain functions best when it gets premium fuel. So eating high-quality foods that contain vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants nourishes the brain, whereas diets high in refined sugars and fats, for example, are harmful to the brain. Some studies have even found that some populations that have diets high in vegetables, fruits, and whole grains, such as the Mediterranean or the traditional Japanese diet, have 25 to 35% lower rates of depression than those who eat a typical Western or, let's just face it, modern American diet. So what you eat actually corresponds to how balanced and happy you can feel overall. Pretty crazy, isn't it? So here's another interesting fact for you about food. And I'm quoting Dan Peterson, assistant professor of pathology at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. And he says this: a huge proportion of your immune system is actually in your gut. In fact, some sources claim that 80% of your immune system is contained in the gastrointestinal system, or your gut, and that a person's issues with immunity could actually be related to a faulty digestion, and therefore your diet. So what you eat can directly affect the health of your gut and therefore your immune system. Again, pretty crazy. So what else? What you eat affects your overall health, the health of your heart, the proper function of your hormones, reduces potentially inflammation in your body, and so many other processes. In fact, if a particular nutrient required for a process in your body is not there, that process will slow down and even shut down. Pretty amazing. So now that I've kind of briefly explored all this, I want to come back to this question. Why did Jesus choose food and drink as a symbol of his body and blood? I want you to just sit on that question for a moment. Why did Jesus choose food and drink as a symbol of his body and blood? Maybe because what we eat and drink not only keeps us alive, but is so intricately connected with every part of us. It is so essential for every part of our healthy functioning, well-being, and even happiness. In the same way, Jesus wants his blood spilled for you and his body painfully broken for you to be intricately connected with every part of who you are, how you function, and your overall happiness and well-being. Because you and I maybe have no idea just how much we need it, not just for our survival and our salvation and the ticket to heaven, but even for our every function, our well-being, and yes, even our deep and lasting happiness. But what is the meaning of Jesus' broken body and spilled blood? I want you to turn with me to Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53. And we'll be reading from verses 4 to 11. So I'll be reading a pretty big chunk here, but I want to read the whole thing, because I think we need to read the whole thing to really understand what's going on here. So Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 11. So I'm going to start from verse 4. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence. Nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him, to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, so he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Pretty powerful passage, isn't it? I want to read verse 5 one more time, and this time from the Amplified Bible Version. I want you to pay special attention. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our wickedness, in brackets, our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing. The punishment required for our well-being fell on him. The punishment required for our well-being fell on him. And by his stripes we are healed. Church, Jesus' broken body and spilled blood is the payment. In fact, it is the punishment required and paid for your salvation, for your well-being, for your healing. You see, communion is a declaration of what Christ has achieved for you. Communion is a declaration of the healing Christ has purchased for you, first and foremost spiritually, but also emotionally, mentally, physically. By taking this bread and this grape juice today, you are declaring the divine exchange where God takes all your brokenness, all your pain, all your imperfections, all your mistakes, all your faults, all your diseases. He takes it all, and in place, he gives you his body and blood. His perfection. His perfection straight into the core of who you are, feeding every part of you, your mind, your heart, and renewing you day by day, as the Bible says. By taking part in communion today, you are proclaiming to yourself and to those around you what God has given you. And no, this is not a magic potion that you drink and immediately stand up and be healed from your infirmities, but it is a promise that you reach out and claim in faith, even if you don't feel whole or well. You claim in faith that God has purchased wholeness for you. Jesus wants his blood spilled and his body painfully broken for you to be intricately connected to every part of who you are. It's kind of interesting that the fall of man came by eating. The introduction of sin into who we are came by eating. But the proclamation of what Christ has purchased for us is also declared today by eating. I want to close with a story, a personal story. A little over 10 years ago, I was in late high school, I was in year 11, and it was one of the darkest years of my life. Up until that point, I had basically been pretty much a star student. My grades were great, I was doing well, but then suddenly my grades dropped, I pulled away from friends, and as I mentioned, I was actually a wreck. You see, I was struggling with extreme anxiety. Almost every day I would be riddled with panic attacks, with anxious thoughts, with just an extreme feeling of being overwhelmed. And by the end of the year, I was just completely wrecked and exhausted, starting to reach the stages of depression after fighting so hard with my irrational anxiety. It was something I had never experienced before in that intensity. And it was constant. I'm talking every day, all day, for almost 6 months straight. Luckily, I had an amazing support network in my family, at school. I eventually got counseling, and God led me to a lot of books and resources that started my journey of recovery. And things did start to get better. But towards the end of that intense season, as I was at the turning point of going into year 12, there is one distinct event that is seared into my memory. I remember this event as the final turning point, the final page in that intense chapter that was turned before I fully stepped into a new season of wellness and healing. And that was communion. It was the beginning of year 12. I was on the leadership team. And I was about to enter into what was going to be the most demanding year of my life. I was just on the tail end of this intense season of anxiety. And at the beginning of the year, a few of our teachers organized a leadership retreat for the Year 12 leadership team. It was just an opportunity for us to brainstorm ideas and just start the year off on a spiritual high. But then during that day, something happened. One of our teachers, our Bible teacher, and some of you may know who I'm talking about, led us in communion. I still remember to this day her explaining to us the bread and the wine representing Jesus' healing and wholeness offered to us in exchange for our pain and brokenness, our unwellness. It was like I had never heard it before. And then it finally clicked. As I drank the grape juice and I ate the bread that day, a page was turned, and a new chapter began. I was healed. Does that mean I never struggled with anxiety again? No. But that day, more than ever before, in my brokenness, I reached out in faith, and I believed. I believed in the divine exchange. I believed in God's restoration and the fact that I will be okay. You know, in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks to the Corinthian church about communion. And he even says that some in the church were weak and sick because as they were partaking in communion, they were not discerning the Lord's body. They were not fully understanding and internalizing what Christ had done and what this declaration meant. So today, will you declare with me what Christ has purchased for you? What brokenness are you carrying today? What infirmity, what illness, what pain are you carrying? Christ is offering you the divine exchange. He's offering you his perfection to become so intricately connected to every part of who you are and how you function, just like the food you eat. He wants to become the life source that feeds you from the inside out. Jesus took the punishment required for your well-being, and by his stripes you were healed. He didn't have to do that. So will you declare this with me today? Are you ready to declare that Christ's broken body and blood and what it represents is just as important for your survival and well-being as the food you eat every day? I pray that this may be your declaration today.